Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I always have these thoughts, Spadoni Shasky, back with you. I always have these thoughts like, what is the current standard for a team? For example, New England was great for 20, 25 years. Then they were awful for a couple years. But they were also awful for years prior to when they were great. What's their current standard? Like right now, for a New England Patriot fan, what is their current standard for what they expect from the New England Patriots?
Can we compete for a playoff spot, potentially?
Is that good enough for a Patriot fan, though?
It'll never be good enough anymore. They are literally... That's such a unique one, too, though, Joe, because they've done so much winning as a town.
Okay.
They've won so... Like, all their teams have won. Every single one. Bruins, Red Sox, Patriots, Celtics. They've all won in this century. Like, there is little Johnny or Sally or whoever... Okay. That's 6, 7, 8 years old. All they've known is winning.
All right. So let's go to the bottom end.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of this, you're the Arizona Cardinals. What's your standard for winning? What are your expectations? Just be like solid and show us something. Make the playoffs.
Can we make the playoffs?
Right.
That's it.
Okay. So how much time needs to expire between years and years of excellence to where you recalibrate as a fan base? Case in point, the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys last won a Super Bowl in the 90s. Well, the Niners, kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that the Cowboys' standard is winning Super Bowls, but they also haven't knocked on the door enough for them to raise their standards and their expectations. Yes, they want to win. They want to be good. Every team wants to win. They want to be good. But, like, to use the 90s as their standard, to me, feels off. We're off here.
There is a difference between the national perception of standards and a given fan base and their expectations of standards.
All
sometimes
right.
There's a shift there because there's a reason they always shove the Cowboys or the Lakers or the Knicks down our throat. There's a reason for that. Why? Because they're the big markets, and also they think, those teams and those owners think, that they should be competing for championships every single year. Doesn't mean it should be. It's happening.
Yeah.
So the actual fans, the diehard fans, the Joe Shaskys of the world, they know, hey, we're not competing.
They were celebrating in the streets after a series win in the first round, New York Knicks fans.
There you go. Bing bong, right? That's their thing. That's what they were doing.
So I guess where I'm going at with the Niners is, like, do I think it's fair that we go, the standard was winning Super Bowls in the 80s and 90s? Well, it's been a long time since that. It's 30-something years. No, I don't think that's the standard. But I think we're in this weird, tiny little loophole where we've been knocking on the door, and we've been excellent. We've been to 7, 8 NFC Championship games in 15 years. How many teams in any sport can say they've been to this semifinals and finals in any sport and not won it all?
I think we did the exercise when we found it was the Mets. Like, the Mets have probably been the only one this century.
And they're not even close to the Niners. The Niners have been better.
No, yeah, that's a great point.
So now it's not like, oh, meet the standard of the 90s. Now it's like, can we just get over the hump once?
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, I think Shanahan is victim of prior dynasties and the unrealistic expectations of coming close to that. I think he's unfortunately, falling victim of Jim Harbaugh not winning at all during his reign, and then him not winning the big one one time during his time. Like, that sucks. Like, he's chasing, like, five different ghosts right now.
And if you're just joining us, why are we talking about this? Well, I did a deep dive yesterday on Kyle Shanahan, who's been here now with his ninth season. He's the longest tenured 49ers head coach since Bill Walsh. And they're going up against a first-time head coach this weekend in Kellen Moore. And it just got me thinking, like, how many other times has Kyle Shanahan faced off against first-time head coaches? And this is going to be, what, his 25th time, I believe, because he's 17-7 overall. So this is going to be his 25th time going up against a first-time head coach in their first season. And it just got me thinking all the different coaches, as we're doing Ghosts of Christmas Past, coaches of Christmas Past, if you will, that he's played against, beaten, not beaten. And it just, I gained a newfound appreciation for him, but I don't feel that same appreciation from a lot of the Niners fan base, because I feel like the Niners fans are viewing it as, like you're just referencing, through the lens of the Seiferts and the Walshes and the standard that was set 30 plus years ago. But when do standards shift? 888-957-9570.
Like, I guess, what are the current standards for the Niners and what are the expectations? I do think there's, let's go to the extreme. For some people on the extreme side of the room, until they win a Super Bowl, nothing will be good enough. Mm. I get it. Like, again, we've knocked on the door so many times. Like, I do. I'm not even mad at those people. Like, I get it. I'm pissed and exhausted too. And all these losses have mounted up, and it's almost impossible to try to comprehend.
There's people in their cars or listening right now that are instantly getting triggered by us even having this conversation.
Exactly.
They said, this is a non-starter. It's what it is. I'm turning this off. It's always Super Bowl or bust. Always. Well, no.
It's also a little unreasonable.
They've been at the door twice. They've been so close, Kyle Shanahan. So for me, like, I have to take a step back here and say, hey, if the tenure was over, like, I got to view it as a success right now if it ended right now. You could choose.
No, if it ended now, it was a successful run.
Yes, it was.
But also, there is something to be said for, you know, you've been here a long time, you've done this, and, like, you didn't do enough, or you didn't get over the hump, and, you know, we need to go in. Like, those are all different conversations. So I understand people on the extreme side of the room saying, until you win a Super Bowl, nothing will be good enough. I do get it. I do. And it's not like you're unreasonable. Like, if you were a Cardinal fan saying anything less than a Super Bowl, like, that would sound ridiculous.
Yeah.
Would it not?
It would, because they never even won one in
their
history.
What I'm saying. They haven't even knocked on the door, it feels like, in 20 years. On the other side of the room, what's even more extreme is he's the coach forever, and no matter what he does is good, no matter how bad things get, nothing is his fault, injuries are out of his control. There is some, like, huge middle ground where we can all meet in the middle, and that's where I go, I don't really know what the expectations are for this year, and I don't know what the standards are for the current 49er fan base anymore. I really don't.
Well, let's ask Thomas in Castro Valley, wants to talk about it. 888-957-9570. Thomas, you're on the Morning Roast. What's up, man?
How's it going? You guys are literally stealing my thunder. You're hitting all the bullet points that I was thinking of. And number one, you got to kind of define, like, what is your standard? It's very subjective, right? To me, it's are we in the discussion? Are we knocking on the door? And without becoming the talk of the Bills, where we're knocking on the door but never getting over that hump, right? To me, Shanahan, yes, we're meeting that standard. Harbaugh met that standard. Singletary did not meet that standard. Mariucci, I feel like he did. So it's, are we in the discussion? Are we relevant? Are we making some noise come postseason? And I think it's a little unrealistic to expect Super Bowl or bust every year, even totally, when we are part of that discussion. It's be in that discussion, and then hopefully we can get over that hump. I try to keep it simple like that. I'm a longtime Niner fan, and I'm not going to be unrealistic, and I'm not a Patriots fan either, or am I 6 years, 7 years old, so I don't know all that is winning.
Thank you, Thomas.
It's a great point.
The more I'm thinking about it, too, that's why I keep harping on his relationship with ownership and his general manager and why it's so important, how I view it that way with Kyle Shanahan. The fact that they've had the same ownership in place since he's been here, and now obviously the same general manager all this time with John Lynch getting hired at the same time. Like, there is a standard of respectability that you have to have within certain organizations. And I view it the same with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I view it the same
with... The standard is the standard.
Thank you. See, Mike Tomlin knows. It's great. I love that.
Well, does Mike Tomlin think he's living up to the standard?
I do think there is a respectability factor that he brings within that organization for the long time. Now, it's gotten to the point where they've knocked on the door. They've been one and done so many times that this is probably it.
It's good, but not good enough.
But think about all the years that have passed since they've last won a Super Bowl, and it's lasted that long.
They haven't won a playoff game since 2016.
There you go.
That's just 9 years ago. Game,
just 9 years ago. And the last time they won a Super Bowl, or been to a Super Bowl, I guess I should say, was 2012 against the Packers, right? I think 2011-ish, around that time. So, yeah, but he's won one, too. So that does help in that conversation. But I'm talking about the standard of respectability within certain organizations. That is a must. You know, the Niners were a laughingstock prior to Kyle Shanahan. Like, they were in that gap after Jim Harbaugh left in that final season. Joe, they became a laughingstock, winning with class. Trent Baalke, the owner, couldn't stop talking. Jim Tomsula, Fartgate, Chip Kelly in the shakes. They became a laughingstock. They also became very polarizing also because of all the Colin Kaepernick, all of that. Their Q rating publicly and nationally was at an all-time low, it felt like.
Well, and like, I think everyone always references that. Ownership did that.
You know,
like they sided with the wrong people. The fans didn't do that. No. The fans wanted to keep, the majority of fans wanted to keep Harbaugh.
Yes.
And the majority of fans also had the backdrop of what happened before Harbaugh, which was closer to Chip Kelly and Tom Sula than it was Harbaugh. Harbaugh was the high watermark before Shanahan of the whole DeBartolo York. I'm talking about Denise DeBartolo York, her tenure as owner.
Absolutely. I will also say this though, like, Jim Harbaugh was not an easy man to work with. And Jim Harbaugh was not a saint when it came to that whole relationship either. He was at fault. And I think most people side with Jim Harbaugh on all of this because of what Jim meant and the rah-rah nature. And he was the head coach. I get all that. And no one's ever going to be pro-owner. Like, that never happens ever in the history of ever outside of maybe Joe Lacob. And we'll see once post-Steph if people are going to turn on Joe Lacob.
Robert Kraft was the golden boy for 20 years, and people now hate his guts.
And then, you know, that massage parlor happened in Florida, and now it's all downhill since then. So, like, literally, like, it can shift that quickly. So the fact that they brought in Kyle and didn't have immediate success, and it took a little bit, took some time, and then all of a sudden we saw, wow, 2019, they go on the Super Bowl run. And since then, his relationship with ownership and – I don't know if it was him saying it. I don't know who got in Jed York's ear. But the fact that the owner really hasn't said anything the last, you know, decade is really...
Except the week of the Super Bowl, which I told him not to say anything.
Well, don't talk about it yet. We've got to reset the quarterback market, whatever.
It bothers me.
And they ended up making him the highest paid player in the history of the franchise anyways. But that withstanding, he's been pretty damn quiet and he's kept his head down. And that's what you need to do as an ownership. And then with his general manager. Like, how often do we see head coaches and general managers butt heads? We see it all the time in sports. I mean, Farhan Zaidi
everywhere
on line one, right?
Doug Peterson and Howie.
Hey,
sports.
We see the stressful nature of it. Bob Myers had to step down. Mm-hmm. He couldn't take it anymore. Like, so the fact that they've been able to have that consistency top to bottom with really no drama, that's a feather in the cap of the 49ers organization and meeting the standard that I think. And bringing back a standard of respectability, I put that on Kyle Shanahan's shoulders.
Kyle's definitely done that. I think, you know, if you want to have a deep dive on Jed screwed this whole thing up by saying the standard is Super Bowls. And that was his mistake. And again, he hasn't referenced that for over a decade. But that was his mistake, which he has learned from, when he didn't give the extension to Harbaugh. And then he went about saying, we don't hang, you know, banners for NFC championships. And we don't hang banners. We win Super Bowls. And it was like, well, wait a minute. You're using the standard of what your uncle did, not what you and your family has done as owners. And I think he made those mistakes. And I will give him credit because I've bashed Jed at every turn when it's deserved. But he learned from that mistake. That was a horrible mistake. So I think for a lot of fans, it's hard for them to get out of their heads what they did to Harbaugh and what they said as an ownership group, what their standards were. And then pivoting when Shanahan got here and giving Shanahan an extension without the Super Bowl, which, again, the nuance is that was the right move.
Yeah.
And the nuance is like that showed growth from the owner. But he never came out and publicly said, hey, I'm actually recalibrating the standards. And the standards are not the 80s and 90s, because that's unrealistic. The standard is, this guy's doing a hell of a job. And yeah, we want him to win the big one, and he wants to win the big one. And we're rewarding him regardless, because we think he eventually will win the big one. He never came out and said that, but his actions spoke that. And I think for a lot of fans, because he hasn't come out and said it, and there hasn't been a soundbite that we could drown on for years, because let's call it what it is, the radio stations, like this one here, what soundbite did we play for 6 or 7 straight years? Winning with class. Yep. We don't hang banners. Like, we held him accountable on those statements. And his actions have actually pivoted from those statements, but he's never come out and said it. So I think everything's really confusing for a lot of fans, and I think there's a wide gamut of what the standard currently is and what the expectations are. For me right now, I'll tell you what my expectations are. Like, I want to make the playoffs.
Okay.
Look, if the quarterback goes down, I'm going to recalibrate and I will change what my expectations are. But even if Kittle's out, which he will be until the middle of October, even if, let's just say, CMC goes down, I still think making the playoffs in the NFL is a difficult task and should be the expectations for even this team after a 6-11 season last year. They have too many good players at the top end of the payroll. D'Amino Lenore, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, Trent Williams, you know, Brock Purdy. There are too many good players to not make the playoffs. If you didn't have a franchise quarterback, I wouldn't have that expectation. My expectation this year is make the playoffs. And then we'll go from there.
What say you, Niner fans? 888-957-9570. What is the current standard within the organization? By the way, tonight, 7 o'clock, Odyssey presents I'm Listening, a special broadcast event featuring some of the biggest names in music, news, sports, and some of the most respected mental health professionals. I'm Listening will be hosted by Carson Daly and spreads awareness about mental health and the message that talk saves lives. You are not alone. It's okay to not be okay. You can listen right here on 95.7 The Game at 7 o'clock tonight. For more information, visit imlistening.org. We got Oreo Cookie on the line. We'll go to him in just a second. By the way, great job in the back, the producers, because this is what a good producer does. They find sound bites from the players talking about the standard. And that was, you know, last season with this 49ers team. What was the standard coming off the Super Bowl loss? It's getting back to the Super Bowl.
Did you hear the broadcast? Greg Olson kept referencing, they all admitted to me when we were having our one-on-ones, they obsessed about the Super Bowl too much last year.
Wow.
And every single play, they were trying to prove why they should have won the Super Bowl. It was almost like a detriment as opposed to like a great goal.
And they were asked ad nauseum about it last year, obviously coming off a Super Bowl loss. Let's just go after the Week 2 loss against the Vikings, Joe. Here's George Kittle.
Yeah, let me hear it.
After that loss.
I think our standards are higher than what we put on tape today. It's back-to-back weeks. We've started out like with 2 not great drives to start off. So we have, as an offense, we have to start better than that and not just have to rely on our defense, who they're going to say that they have to clean stuff up too. But, you know, they caused 2 turnovers, but we also had 2 turnovers, so that's tough for us. I think Kyle said that we were really bad on third down. It's hard to win football games when you're like that, and we didn't run the ball that effectively today either. So the things that we're known for being good at, we weren't great at. And so that kind of explains why we lose.
That's a reasonable way of putting it. Like our standards are better than what we did on today's performance.
And they've set the standard high. And they expect those high standards, but doesn't mean you can't make mistakes, right? I thought last week was a perfect example of, yeah, probably the standard wasn't, you know, crapping out in the red zone and missing those kicks those last couple times, but you know what? You won the damn game. And that's ultimately, that's the standard. Winning the game, first and foremost. So that's what I want to preach.
And that's why, like, as you kind of just glance at Sunday's game, you know, you start the season off 2-0. I don't care who it's against. 2-0, and you're going to get all the numbers. Hey, teams that start off 2-0 go to the playoffs X amount of times. 2-0 in the NFL is special. That's good. That's where you want to be. You'll want to be 2-0.
Well, because you got some breathing room. So even if you lose, and I'm not wishing them they lose the next 2 games. Even if you go and you lose the next 2 games, you're 2-2. You're still right there, and that's after a month of football.
You gotta just bank wins.
So you've built in some breathing room here. It felt like last year they kept fighting an uphill battle.
And like Joe, like you talked about Kittle going on IR. You got the Seahawks. That's a divisional opponent.
Yep.
Okay, you already played them. You're 1-0 versus them. Saints, well, that's a conference opponent.
It is.
Cardinals, divisional opponent. Jaguar, non-conference, so it's not as impactful to some of these tiebreaker things, but you'd like to win that game.
Yeah.
And then you get the Rams. So he's out 2.5 divisional opponents and three conference opponents, essentially.
Brutal. Any chance he comes back for that Rams game?
No, he would be out until the 12th, which is what I had hypothesized yesterday.
God. I was hoping maybe he had like a little special thing with the Thursday Night Football, but that's brutal. But they can still weather this storm without him. We're calling it the September storm, not the Seattle storm, who beat the Valkyries last night. A September storm that they have to weather without their stud tight end.
I love my history of the Niners. You know I do. I love it. I love it.
History of the game, yeah.
But when I hear people like, the standard is the Super Bowl, like I get it. We've been talking about the Super Bowl for 15 years because we keep coming up short. No, now the standard is, can we just get over the hump and win one? That's all I want to do. Does Nebraska football consider themselves the juggernaut that they were in the 80s? No. They have recalibrated. They're probably never going back to that.
No.
Right? Now the standard is very, very, very different. Now, Alabama football has a standard, and they're going to stick by it because they just came off of winning like 8 championships.
It's funny because you brought up the New England Patriots, by the way, who have the most Super Bowls in the history of the NFL. They got 6 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not going into this season saying it's a Super Bowl or bust.
No, they just want Drake May to be good.
They have to recalibrate. Now, they've done so much winning since the start of this century that it's okay for them to have some of these bad years. Niner fans are like, all right, well, it's been 30 years for us. We're kind of getting restless here. I mean, so check back to New England Patriots fans and Boston fan in about another 15, 20 years.
But they did fire Gerard Mayo one and done.
They did.
That's pretty bold.
They did. By the way, Gerard Mayo, first-time head coach last year. Kyle Shanahan was 1-1 against him.
Right.
This is what we're talking about all
that's
the time.
Right.
I had to do the deep dive on all these first-time head coaches that he's beaten.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.